Welcome to Deep Dive, a podcast series in which Fredericks editor-in-chief Dara Caponegro and fellow editors are joined by design industry leaders to share their unique insights, experiences, and knowledge on the world of decorating.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dara Caponegro. Today, we're here with the very talented David Kleinberg. So, David, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us
today. Thanks.
So we're here today because this subject matter is very near and dear to my heart. We're talking about neutral spaces and how to make them interesting. But we're here today to debunk the myth that neutral spaces are boring. And I couldn't think of anyone better to join us today because your spaces are always so beautiful and you've been doing it for a long time, this practice in neutrality. And I just thought I would love to hear your perspective on it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I suppose I am somewhat associated with, you know, a certain amount of restraint in color. I do work with color, but I've stayed consistent to my interest and you know, I'm drawn to neutrals, textures, natural finishes, and they're very important in the work I do. Vande Truex, who kind of was a great director of Parsons and Tiffany's, used to say, you know, you need to avoid a big bowl of porridge, that neutrals can fall into a kind of, neutrals can be just that, neutral. But they just take more, you know, they take more time to know and to open up.
So what are your secrets then to distinguishing a neutral room?
I was really lucky, as you know. We've known each other a long time. I was trained by Albert Hadley. You know, he was one of the greats because he could work in so many genres and styles. That's always been important to me. But decoration isn't just fabric. I think with working with neutrals, you need to consider, obviously, the architecture of the space, which has always been incredibly important to me. That's an essential element. What's the geometry of the space? Then it's the shapes of the furniture, the finishes of the furniture, woods, lacquers, metals, stones, glass, what's reflective. These all go in, all of these elements go into what makes a neutral room not boring. Mm-hmm. And then within neutrals, there are an enormous amount of textures, weaves, fabrications. So you put all of that together, and I think the rooms aren't neutral at all. They're nuanced, mm-hmm. maybe is a better
mm-hmm.
word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a good word. So have you always been drawn to quieter rooms?
I think so, yes, except when I was about 14 or 13, and my own bedroom in Long Island, I had this mad idea. I thought my poor mother probably figured out I was not going to be the lawyer or doctor I was supposed to be. And I painted one wall of my bedroom. I thought this was very innovative. I painted one wall of my bedroom high gloss pumpkin orange.
Mm.
And then, which I found out painting high gloss paint was not so easy.
Right.
So I have a lot of respect for painters who do that high gloss finish. You know, and I was a very neat kid. So I did do all the sanding. I did do all the taping. I did do all of that to make sure it looked as good as a 14-year-old could make it. And then I thought that this faux leopard print was the perfect thing to make bed covers with. So, I mean, you can imagine what that room looked like.
It sounds kind of great, though.
So, I mean, but I guess, but after that, I sort of think I found my comfort zone.
Yeah, yeah. But I have great respect for people who use a lot of color and pattern. It's not that I don't like it. It's just, you know, you reach a certain point in your life and you know yourself and you know what you like, and that's fine too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that, I guess that's why it's called the comfort zone.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You know, you do find what resonates with you. And, you know, I think we all vibrate at a certain frequency.
Yeah. So do you think neutral rooms do something for people? Do they make you calm? Do they?
I'm not really sure, but I think the response I always get and continue to get, which means the most to me, is they look comfortable. Somebody might think comfortable is a pejorative term. To me, it is exactly part of the goal. I have always said I design rooms to be lived in and not to be photographed.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why I'm comfortable with neutrals.
In preparing for this, I looked at a lot of your work and I was struck by your use of materials. So we touched on that. Are there any new materials or things that you go to again and again because you find them so alluring?
Yeah, I'm a real predictable classicist for 20th century masters, if you will. And so I've always been drawn to oak. I always describe oak as the most friendly wood. Some woods will fight you. They don't want to be any other color than they want to be. Uh-huh. You know, walnut wants to be the color it is. Oak is the Labrador retriever of woods. Uh-huh. You know, it'll do whatever you want it to do. It just wants to please. Love oak. Love oak. I love parchment. I love bronze. I love burnished nickel. I love limestones. I love a lot of sort of, you know, honed marbles. I like neutral toned leathers and suedes. I like anything that's woven. There are things I definitely go back to.
It's a good group to have in your arsenal.
We're going to take a quick break to thank the sponsor of today's show, Patterson Flynn. Since its founding in 1943, Patterson Flynn has been the go-to source for the finest carpets and rugs. Its craftsmanship, exquisite artistry, and service of the highest caliber on all their clients' projects are unmatched. So, if you're a designer interested in learning more about Patterson Flynn's portfolio and services, apply to join their trade program at PattersonFlynn.com.
And tell me about symmetry. Can you talk about that?
Well, it goes back to, you know, because of how I was trained. People say, you know, where did you go to design school? And I said, yes, I spent 16 years working for Albert Hadley. So I probably had a better design education than lots of people. And that was really incredibly lucky to sort of, you know, have that as my professor, if you will, somebody who would critique my work. You know, so I always start something from the architectural part of it. What's the box? Mm-hmm. What are we doing? And in order to create a pleasant environment, there has to be a certain balance. And that doesn't have to be perfect symmetry with pairs and pairs, but there has to be a balance to the space. And once I feel that that exists, then you have more liberty to fill that box.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one thing that I notice is that when you do have symmetry, they're not exactly, your two tables are not treated exactly the same.
They don't have to be, but yeah. You know, I always, you know, and I still talk to people in the office about the landscape of a room. And I think that's a really important aspect that has to be considered. What are the relative heights of things? If there's a tall opening to the room, are you balancing it with a table and a tall picture or a tall mirror? Mm-hmm. Are you balancing it with an etagere or a bookcase? Is it a mantelpiece with an overmantel? Is it? And so all of those things has to be considered. Decoration is a 3D art form. And yeah. You have to think of it that way.
That's true. And tell us about form. I know that form really plays in your interiors.
You know, I think about the form of, you know, what's the shape of a lamp versus the shape of a chair leg? I mean, I suppose a lot of people think that they're not related, but to me, they are related. I always think if you can make an interesting line drawing out of the room, then it's going to be an interesting and appealing room. If the sofa has a curved arm, the chair has to have a curved arm, the lamp needs to be curved. But there needs to be a conversation between the shapes and the forms and the geometry of the spaces. And I think that's true in fabrics too. If there's a chevron pattern in one thing, does it want to be balanced with a stripe or a more organic shape, and how do those work?
And in terms of fabrics, you tend to use wovens more than prints, right?
I tend to use wovens a lot because wovens to me are a print. I do use prints. I use them in limited ways. I like prints on furniture with frames, because then to me they're like paintings. They're framed, you can see the pattern, mm-hmm. You can highlight it, you can mm-hmm. center it. I love textures. I always have. I love textures in carpets and rugs. I love textures on fabrics, you know, whether it's a boucle, whether it's, you know, something, you know, woven.
Your rooms tend to be pretty minimal, but they never are cold. So how do you achieve that?
Well, kind of a certain layering, mm. And there's a certain, you know, dimensionality to it. So they're not, you know, neutral doesn't mean minimal. Mm. It doesn't mean an absence of panel details, an absence of flooring patterns, an absence of crown base door trim moldings, mm. An absence of layers of pillows and a throw on a sofa, a soft rug over a sisal woven carpet, over a wood floor. Lighting is incredibly important to create warmth and comfort. Mm. So lamplight. I'm a big believer in lampshades. You know, I look at so many rooms and that are photographed and I think, where's the lighting coming from? No one wants to sit in a room with just overhead lighting. Mm-hmm. You know, at my age, I look like a corpse in daylight. I mean, you know, it's just a bad thing. But you need level of lighting. So all of these elements go into creating a room that I think doesn't feel cold.
I noticed that you do patterned rugs sometimes, and you have that beautiful collection for Patterson Flynn of some patterned rugs. So tell us about the floor. You talked a little bit about, you know, oak and wood finishes, but how about carpet?
Well, I mean, I do like patterned carpets, and whether they're actually patterned with color or patterned, I mean, we've done lots of patterned rugs with texture. In those days, you used to have graph paper with grids on it, and you do your layouts on it, and I guess patterned rugs still remind me of that, but it's sort of the grid that holds the furniture together. I always hate to think of furniture if it looks like it's clutching onto a life raft in the room. And so I do think it can hold, often our rooms have more than one seating area. So it helps sort of unify the space and give you a good base to go off from.
Mm-hmm. What is one of your most favorite neutral rooms from history?
Oh, gosh. They'd probably all be a Billy Baldwin room. I mean, you know, probably Billy Baldwin's own apartment that he had. He had a little one-room studio apartment on 61st Street between Lexington and 3rd Avenue that I thought was probably the penultimate expression of efficiency, not only of furniture plan, because it was a brilliant furniture plan, but of selection of materials.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Baldwin is still somebody I go back to again and again and again and look at the clarity of his vision.
Well, I got to photograph Albert's apartment toward the end of his life, and I was so struck by how small it was and how modest it was.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was so beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't need tons of stuff, and there was no ostentation. Everything was just perfect and well-appointed, and that was really nice to see.
Yeah, no, it was what was appropriate for the individual.
Yeah.
And Albert lived in a way that was completely resonated with who he was and how he lived.
Well, thank you so much. It was really a pleasure speaking with you and learning all about your amazing work and the thought behind it. And I appreciate your taking the time.
Well,
today.
You're really nice to invite me. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. Stay tuned for next week's episode of Deep Dive.